In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the scripture reading. An ever-recurring question has haunted the minds of human beings since the dim ages of the past. Who will take away sin? How can the twist of evil in the world be straightened out? Can the jarring discords be resolved? The fierce tensions overcome? Can someone devise a way to save people from the chaos of their own contriving? Who will take away sin? That question forces itself upon us even more acutely today. The enormous fiscal debt of many nations, including our own, the biomedical technologies which often interfere with life processes, the atomic arsenals, all remind us that our glittering civilization, so laboriously contrived, may be disintegrating before our eyes. Our secular knowledge and invention may only be working for our destruction. The question, who will take away sin, has a cosmic urgency. Beside all this, each of us individually, if we are at all honest, knows it is our question too. We have not mastered our own fate, captained our own soul, worked out our own destiny. If only we could deal with sin, with the hardcore sinful self, and achieve true spiritual harmony. How can I be right with life and God? Who will take away my sin? That is the question which dominates our text this morning. The holy writer tells us that we cannot remove sin by our sacrifices. Referring to the sacrifices God instituted for his people in the Old Testament, the writer says, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin." Why is it impossible? Because those sacrifices were only a shadow, not the reality themselves. They were not even a representation. They were but a rude, incomplete sketch. Helpless animal victims were dragged unwillingly to the altar. What a contrast to the willing sacrifice of Christ. Nor could those Levitical sacrifices remove guilt. If they could, the writer asks, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would not have felt guilty over their sins. That is why the writer of the text, quoting Psalm 40, says, "Sacrifices and offerings, sin offerings and burnt offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them." Dumb animals, cannot experience spiritual suffering. They cannot adequately represent God's hatred of sin, nor can they vindicate God's justice. And so the prophet Micah cries out, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow before God on high? Will I bring offerings to him?" Is it pleasing to the Lord to offer thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? With those sacrifices, God is not pleased. The answer of our text is a blunt, emphatic, for the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It is just as impossible for us to take away our sin by other kinds of sacrifices. The writer to the Hebrews in the 13th chapter urges us to bring sacrifices of praise and good deeds. When these are offered from a believing heart, they are pleasing to God. But they cannot take away our sin, for they are never perfect expressions of God's will. Our sacrifices are so tainted with sin. It was so with the sacrifices of the Israelites. Indeed, those sacrifices became sinful in themselves, for they were offered to earn God's favor and to avoid doing God's will. We can offer the sacrifice of external religious observance, but remain unchanged within. We can offer the sacrifice of our commitment to serve God in his church so that we might earn God's favor. We can offer the sacrifice of our ministering activity so that people might praise us. The constant repetition of the Old Testament sacrifices was a perpetual reminder of the Israelites' sin. Our imperfect sacrifices are reminders of our sin. It is well to be so reminded. We have a tendency to forget. Sin is daily omission and commission of what are sometimes called little things. On some days we feel our sin more deeply, but the impression can soon fade. And yet it is the daily conscious awareness of our sin as an offense against God that convinces us we cannot take away sin by our sacrifices. So the question persists: who will take away sin? The text gives an answer. The holy writer points to Jesus as the one who took away sin by his sacrifice. How is it possible for Jesus to do so? The writer puts into the mouth of Jesus the words of Psalm 40. "It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God." Christ's consuming desire was to do the will of his heavenly Father. On one occasion, he told the Jews, "I came from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." To his disciples, he said after his conversation with the woman at Jacob's well, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And he did. in the fierce temptation in the wilderness, in the awful agony of Gethsemane, in the dreadful suffering on the cross, Jesus voluntarily submitted to his Father's will in thought, in word, in deed, in feeling. With the body God had given him at his incarnation, Jesus submitted himself completely all the way to death on a cross. There, because he had no sin, he could take our sin and bear God's hatred against sin for us. His atoning blood swept away forever all sacrifices for sin. And the result, by that will, the text says, we have been made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Christ once for all. God has declared us holy, righteous, acceptable. Does all this sound rather archaic? Like doctrinal theorizing, irrelevant, unreal? The sacrifice of Jesus is real, the most shattering reality the world has ever seen. God himself stepped from the world beyond into our time and history. Jesus' death is the blackest crime in history. But God was working in that death. What a supreme irony! Like David used Goliath's sword to behead the giant, so God used the machinations of evil men to bring about Satan's irrevocable defeat. It seemed like the concentrated power of demons had triumphed. Not so. We continue to live in a sinful world and see sin in our own lives. Yet when we experience defeat, when sin accuses, when guilt oppresses, we can cope. On account of Jesus, God counts us holy and pure. When we believe in Jesus, sin can no longer condemn us or control us. We can leave this chapel service this morning absolutely confident that God has dealt with the radical dilemma of sin, because Jesus took away sin by his sacrifice. The ultimate victory is ours. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.